This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Back in 82. I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, I'm rolling out.
Let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Dirt's over here getting me in trouble.
Oh, you're fine.
Good Lord.
You are fine. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Blazers and Thunder.
Jordan Poyer.
Lucky man.
He's having a great life.
Lucky man.
Very great life. Go Beavs.
Go Beavs. How about that?
You got some ice, Swigard?
Yeah. Sprague's a little hot. You're blushing right now.
Woo.
You're sweating. It's one of those. Speaking of the Beavs.
Swag's like, what is Instagram?
What is this? Graham, you talk about.
Don't Graham me.
I want to know, 55305 is the Bet You Today text line. Chime in, please. I am genuinely curious.
Okay.
Because we did a poll question on Friday, but it's easy to say yes or no and then not follow through with either way on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
How many people out there watched any semblance? I'll go bare minimum 2 minutes. Okay.
Oh.
2 minutes is the low requirement of spring football for either Oregon or Oregon State this weekend. 55305.
You talking live there, Andy?
We're talking live recorded. I don't care. Just
I
watch.
Saw highlights of OSU's.
That counts. How long was the highlight film?
Maybe a minute. I had no interest in Oregon's because here, let me tell you, Oregon's Tyler Shuck looked good. Great. That was all I saw.
Tyler Shuck looked good. Yeah, that happened. So
this is the thing with spring ball, and I know we talked about it a couple times last week. You go to spring ball, you don't watch spring ball. You know? The Duck fans that went to spring football are the Duck fans who watched it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There. Sorry, but Pac-12, show me the ratings. Because you re-aired Oregon State an hour after. And
nobody's going to watch.
No chance you had more than 100 people watching that thing.
Now, to be fair, I do have Oregon State's on the Diver, and I will watch it at some point.
Why?
Because I want to. I'm weird like that. You know, I know. It's weird.
Because I want to.
What cracks me up, too, about the spring game stuff is we always get, like, there's some people that try and argue we want football in the spring. Like, AFL will work. We want spring football. Or the XFL will work. We want spring football.
Oh, they're going to be back on it next year.
And I usually argue
comes.
Like, no, but it's funny though that some people will argue that and then argue that spring football is boring. It's like, well, at least with spring football, I'm watching my team. Like, at least I'm watching
the guys who are going to matter to
me. Right. I get to see a couple of new faces. How's this team going to look next year? Let's watch a scrimmage. Let's go over the film. Let's break it down from a fundamental standpoint.
No, let's not do that.
No, you don't want to call. Okay.
Do the coaches even do that?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
You don't think they have a general sense of how things are lined up with their depth chart? You think they need that spring game to go, look how we perform.
Yeah. You gotta go over the film right there.
I do want to know very quickly before you give your scorching hot thoughts on Oregon spring football. I need Beaver fan that went to tell me the truth because I was told via somebody through somebody else that there were 9,000 Beaver fans at the spring game.
See, we need to talk about this. Who was at the Oregon State spring game? Can you confirm how many people were there? Ballpark it.
The picture I saw suggested between 500 to 1,000.
Yeah, it didn't look great. There was a lot of angles on highlights that I did see that or like pictures and stuff that didn't look like a ton of people were there.
And I'm not going to knock the program if that's all they got. Again, it is spring football. I think we forget that Oregon fan didn't care about this 2 years ago.
Well, that's not true. They've had over 30,000, I think, for a decade straight.
I think you're embellishing.
I don't think I am.
Swigart rolled his eyes either at me or Dirt.
Or somebody else.
Swigart is saying it's you, that you're embellishing.
What do we make of Oregon State's new uniforms? We can have a hot take on that out of the spring football because they had a big debut. They had smoke machines, guys coming out, three new uniforms debuted. Easy ducks. Well, you need new uniforms every year. Jesus, what'd you make of their new unis?
It's not lost on me that was a real thing about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
The whole, we don't need new
we
unis.
Don't get new
and now
unis.
They're doing new unis.
I used to have a family, an uncle of mine who is as diehard a Nebraska fan ever.
Yeah.
Used to always yell at me about Oregon uniforms. We'll never change our uniforms. We're Nebraska. No, they got new ones like every year. They wear random all black uniforms. Like,
turns out kids care about uniforms.
They do.
It's important to care about what kids care about.
They like to put new unis on.
Okay. On the uniform thing, I like the unis. I will maintain I hate the Nutria. I will never like that logo. I think the Rebeev, and by the actual Rebeev, I mean the logo and beaver itself, was garbage. But I like the new unis. A couple people tweeted me and said they didn't like the stripe on the shoulder pad. That's fine. I get it. It's not perfect, but
yeah, that was the only part of it that I didn't like. But they can grow on you. They always look different when you see them in action, too.
Yeah, I think that's an important factor. And I kind of like the tree rings in the numbers that I didn't notice till Marcus showed me this morning.
I didn't either. Now the other controversy out of them was the beeves in front. Are you okay with that?
Because I don't care about that.
Apparently, some Beaver fans didn't like that it just says beeves in the chest of the jersey.
What do you go beeves
instead of Oregon State or Beavers?
No, you're the beeves.
You're the beeves, right?
There's nothing wrong with being a beeve.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Somebody said Oregon Live apparently reported there was 2,500 people. Somebody else texted in and said, I heard there was 827. I liked how specific that number is.
Is this OSU?
OSU's game. Okay. I know Oregon's. Dusty and I were trying out a career as crowd size guessers.
Guesstimators.
We were trying to guesstimate because we knew eventually they put the number up. But I also have to ask, I don't know how they know how many people are there because there's not tickets. You get in for free.
Maybe it's like a sensor thing, so it rings every time somebody walks past.
I guess you go through the little turnstiles or whatever sometimes. But they ended up with just north of 35,000 at the Oregon Spring Game.
And that attendance is 56 in Autzen?
Yeah, high 50s. If standing room only, I think you can get close to 60.
So just over 50%. That's
so
good.
So, yeah, just over half full. And it was all compacted on the two big sidelines. Yeah. There wasn't much in either end zone.
Well, if OSU got 2,500, that's good.
That's better than we thought.
Yeah, because the angles I saw, and I just saw some highlights, so I saw like one angle. It didn't look great, but if 2,500 showed up, I think you're happy with that. The things I would say, though, you don't really take much away either. You mentioned the story Alger did of how Mariota kind of emerged 1 year. Like, that stuff does happen. But from what I saw with Jebbia, because Jebbia's gotten a bad rap.
He's the guy that I want to, that's why I want to watch the spring game. It's really only for him because a lot of their big guys didn't play.
Not to say that he lit the world on fire by any means, but he looks the part. And he made some good throws.
Okay.
Josiah Irish is a small wide receiver that is a speedy guy.
He's apparently played really well this week.
He had a good game and he was impressive to watch. We'll see how he works out with their depth. Again, they didn't play all their guys, but those are the two things I think I was looking for the most was him, because I'd heard great things from Marcus about him. And then Jebbia, it didn't sound very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I'm more on the opinion of let's wait till fall camp.
Sure, it's his first spring. Like,
let him get
time.
A little more time with the playbook. And then come early August, you roll out there and we'll see what you have in a quarterback competition.
Yeah, and somebody asking, are they dishing the wet helmets? It looked like it. It looked like they're just going with the black helmet again. I think on every uniform they were just wearing the black helmet. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Are we going to see those orange copper ones at some point when they had, were those the throwback ones that they had?
Those might have been, because they used to have all the different
they had the number
color helmets
on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a throwback thing. I think, I don't
I hope
think,
they bring those back. Those are my favorite, quite frankly.
The image I'm seeing on the internet is all black helmets.
I like that though. I mean, I'm
cool
okay
with
that.
I don't like white helmets.
You don't want to mix around the orange helmet, the white helmet and the black helmet.
No.
Okay.
No, and I know the pinstripe, again, not for everybody on the shoulder pads, but yeah. I think if you're going to do new unis, you don't want to go too far off what you were anyway.
No, and you want to have a new twist. You want to have something that's unique to you. And there's not many shoulder designs like that I've seen out there.
Shout out Michael Doctor, former linebacker, still modeling for the football
team. He was the
team.
Model. He was the model that had to do that. So there's your hot takes on Oregon State spring game. Somebody texted in 0 minutes watch. I did read up about it and watch the highlights. That was about it. I love the new unis. Shoulder stripe took about a minute to get used to, but I love them. Hated the last set.
Yeah, I didn't like the last set either.
So a lot of people like the new unis. And whether you watch, I do enjoy spring football just to check in. I mean, those games go, I had forgotten because I hadn't been to a spring game in a couple of years being at the Oregon one. It kicked off at 2:07 and it was over before 4 o'clock. I mean, they're fat. I mean, it's quick. There's not much to it. I know Oregon State's, if you DVR'd it or watched it on the Pac-12 Network, I think they condensed it down to 1 hour for television because they showed it just before the Oregon one.
Yeah. RJ says, Oregon has been over 30K in attendance for many years in a row. Shut up, jealous beaver. Don't be sad.
Yes, Sprague.
Shots at you, Swigard.
They have had good numbers. I will say that the main takeaway from Oregon, spring game being there, one, the recruiting spectacle. You could tell Cristobal afterwards was very... I don't know if nervous was the right word, but he was very thankful to the fans for showing up because they made this a big deal for recruiting.
When you get the number one player in a class to show up, you don't want to have 10,000 show up.
You don't want to be like, hey, this is a big deal. We care about spring football, and then nobody's at the stadium, and the kid's like, I'm going to go play at Clemson. See you later. I'm out of here. So he was very thankful for the fans for showing up. The main takeaways, though, were one, Juwan Johnson is a massive human being.
Okay.
That dude's huge.
Yep.
Micah Pittman's going to be a stud, the freshman wide receiver.
Saw some tweets on him.
He was all over the place Saturday. And you finally, for the first time in a while, it feels like you have a competent backup quarterback because everybody talked about and raved about Tyler Shuck. And just watching him, he looked good. Again, spring game, can't touch him.
I was going to say, I hope that's not just it's the spring game.
Although I already have enough authority to say he is light years better than Braxton Burmeister. And if there's not the same fear that if Herbert goes down, we literally can't throw the football.
I think Seth Collins was light years better than Braxton Burmeister.
I actually might agree with that.
How did Kayvon look? I saw him out there dancing.
He looked good. Again, it's tough for the defensive lineman, though, because he had like maybe 3 or 4 plays that would have been sacks. But
okay,
you can't get
well, that's what
sacked.
I want to know is I know you can't sack him, but would he have had sacks?
He ran out of gas. He towards the end of the game, he was like hands on the knees guy.
Getting in shape.
Yeah, you could tell. First game in a while. So you got to build back into it. But Shuck was the talking point out of Oregon spring ball. Every player and coach was complimentary of him. He looked really good. So there you go. There's your hot spring football breakdown.
Well, and Dustin goes, you guys talking spring football, are you out of segments?
Well, come on. That was a good segment right there. We rounded our bases
on
spring football.
We're going to have Jonathan Smith on the show tomorrow.
Look at that.
Come on.
Come on.
That was the fruit and cheese plate before dessert right there.
I know I'm unique. By the way, there was a couple of people who texted in saying they did watch spring football this weekend. I'm not alone here.
No, I know. I'm giving you a hard time.
There's a handful
you and
out
Sukanik
there.
I know Sukanik does.
Sukanik does too, yeah.
He'll watch like UCLA.
Yeah, check it out. What's Dorian Thompson Robinson look like?
I don't care. We'll find out when the season starts.
Isn't he on Oregon State schedule? Don't you want to see? Get a scouting report. Let's go.
How many games does he play before they play Oregon State?
Also, my thing is, like, spring football, I can't take so much away.
No, you can't take hardly anything away.
Like, if Duck fan tuned into the SEC network to watch the Auburn spring game for a little bit.
I would get it, yeah.
That I'd get.
Yeah. You always want to know quarterbacks and how they actually look.
So if I send you a tape of Oklahoma State spring game, are you going to watch?
I'll probably see who their quarterback is.
Okay.
Because the Mason Rudolph kid's gone.
I'd check out, 10 minutes of that when they had the ones, if they had the ones going against the ones, if it was a real game or whatever.
I find highlights to be the best for spring football. Does it tell the whole story of what happened? No. But in the highlight package I watched, Jebby had a couple nice throws. Josiah Irish looked really good running down the field. And the defense laid the wood a little bit. Does that mean the offensive line and defensive lines are good?
Ooh, laid the wood.
No.
Did they lay the big wood or just the little wood?
Today I'm laying the big wood.
They lay big wood.
Big wood down in Corvallis.
Beaver on beaver wood.
I never lay big wood.
Can we pull that? I didn't notice the wood thing in the numbers. That's really cool.
Yeah, Marcus poo-pooed it. I was like, that's kind of unique.
I thought that was really cool.
Do you know what beavers do for a living?
I believe they're known for chopping trees down.
You're damn right. It's their 9 to 5.
They're woodsmen.
And when they don't have chopping trees, they're like, what do? We're just beavers.
Just out here being a beaver.
Getting all wet.
All right. I think that's enough spring football. Let's get back into game 4, shall we? Blazers and Thunder. Blazers up 3-1. Where does the series go from here? An honest question to Blazer fans, okay? Don't lie because people are lying on the poll question. What do you got?
Brent just texted a good point. We didn't need to watch Auburn's spring game. The old guy you had on gave us the rundown of the entire roster.
That's true. He gave us every player. Well, it's a linebacker. They got Bobby, and he played 2 games last year, and then Johnny's a defensive end, and Got the whole roster break.
You kind of went Louisiana with that one.
I did.
Oh, we
got
to bring Philip Marshall back before.
Oh, God.
If he goes to Dallas and we have guys there, you got to go find him.
I don't want to. I don't want to talk to that guy.
Philip, what kind of barbecue? Well, I don't really know the number of plays, but I'll tell you right now. I had
4 hours later. Ah, he likes brisket. Okay, honest question. Answer it honestly. Trust Tree. How surprised are you that Portland is up 3-0 with a chance to close it out tomorrow? Get back into the Blazers. Next on The Fan. Well, game 4 last night in Oklahoma City. Sluggish start, and the next thing you know, you look up. Portland's leading at the end of the first quarter. Second quarter is a little ugly. Next thing you know, you look up at the half. They're up by 4. Then they go into takeover mode in the third, building the lead all the way up to 19 points. End up winning 111-98, your final. The Blazers now lead the series 3-1. Game 5 tomorrow, they got a chance to close it out and get a week off before round 2 starts. Let's take ourselves back a week and a half ago, and I tell you that Portland is up 3-1 after the first 4 games with a chance to close it out in Game 5. What's your reaction?
I am surprised. You know, is it the most shocking thing ever? Probably not, but watching OKC be so inept offensively in really 3.5 of the 4 games, because let's not act like they were world beaters here all of game 3. That's not something I saw. Now, I knew that they weren't the best 3-point shooting team in the NBA, but to be less than 20% both games in Portland and to be what they were yesterday and really only have one good game from the perimeter, I didn't see Portland's defense doing what they're doing. I knew Dame could challenge Russ and kind of show the country that he's better than Russell Westbrook. That's not surprising. It's just to the level that he's leading this group. And I don't want to diminish anybody. Like, CJ has been doing his thing.
He's been great in all 4 games.
Al Farouk has been consistent. Mo Harkless has been consistent. Enes Kanter has been good in spots. Zach Collins has been good in spots. Hell, Myers Leonard is going out there with a little confidence and not completely fumbling everything away, which is great to see. I didn't see all of those things coming together the way it has. I picked OKC in 6, so clearly I can't try to lie about my feelings of this series going into it. If you told me the day I said OKC in 6, Portland will be up 3-1 to close out 5 in Portland, I would have probably said, wow, you're out there a little bit. That is a real hot take. I can't see that happening.
You know what the coolest thing to me so far this series has been? The shifting narratives, and I don't like, I'm not trying to say this in a way that like Dame has been disrespected on the national stage, but the shifting narratives from Westbrook to Dame. Like, Westbrook is a talking point all year long. Part of it's because he's controversial. The triple-double stuff, like, I get it. And he is a tremendous player. We're noted on that. We've talked about it many a times. Like, we still respect the triple-double. We understand he's kind of a D-bag, but he's good, but watching the way Dame has outplayed him and outclassed him in almost every facet of the game in this series, I think has been the most enjoyable part of it, where Dame is getting national attention. People are upping him in the conversations of best players in the game. And Westbrook, to me, I don't know if there's a guy that has turned into like an easier dude to root against than just watching him in this playoff series.
Well, I think, hold on, Swag, I'll let you go, but I was going to say, I think that is a very easy reactionary response from us too, and I think every fan base deals with this. It's always the person who is your biggest, I don't know if rival is the right word, but the biggest threat in a series, or a guy who has the biggest name brand recognition. We do this with Harden. We did this with Paul.
Every I don't do it with Paul series. George though. Like, yeah. I don't mind Paul George.
Right, but I'm just saying every series you have against somebody, it ends up being somebody that you go, I don't think I could have most this guy. We had that with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. We've had that James Harden. And I'm not surprised we have that with Russell Westbrook. I wouldn't be shocked if we had this with Aldridge or Jokic.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think you're right. There's little rivalries that are built, and we already hated Russell Westbrook to begin with. So there was already a built-in factor there. But I don't remember it being at this level the last couple of years.
No, not at all. And is now his beef with media there is
right,
getting
adds to it.
Elevated to a national stage, and people are scratching their heads like, those are perfectly legitimate questions. What's his problem? But going back to Dame, I think what I've noticed with the TNT guys, with the NBA TV guys, when you flip over and to watch the postgame press conferences, Dame's starting to get the recognition in the manner that Chris Paul is, not just for the individual stats that he puts up. That's where he's separating himself from Russell Westbrook, in terms of him orchestrating a team, being able to read a particular game, pick his spots as to when he needs to hit the accelerator with his scoring, or when he needs to accept what teams are doing to him and allow other players to take advantage of those situations within the flow of the offense. And so he's going to start getting praise on the level of Chris Paul now. The question is, there's definitely a window here. The poll question's up. How far do you think that they can go? It's not out of the realm of possibilities for them to get to the Western Conference Finals. And if they get there, then how much momentum do they have? How beat up is either Golden State or Houston, whoever might get out of that series? And then you evaluate, I think you would reevaluate at that point how realistic it is. But there's definitely a window the way these playoffs are opening up for something special.
I don't think you can dismiss the window. I think talking about the Western Conference Finals as if it's done is a stretch.
No.
There's a window now. You have to capitalize on it. It comes down to Portland going out and getting the job done.
Now, I tweeted after they beat the Bucks very early in the year.
You did.
I could paint a scenario where they get there.
And I called you an idiot and said, please stop.
Can I still claim that, even though I've probably since given 4 or 5 different opinions?
Eh, what the hell? I'll give it to you.
Okay. All right.
Should we go find that tweet and retweet it? We can find my retweet.
That's going to be way too much work.
I think I responded with the Michael Jordan gif of like, stop.
Oh, yeah. Don't do drugs.
Get some help. You're better than this.
Well, but I think that's kind of the cool part, too, is I know I'm sounding like I'm poo-pooing the happiness here. And in a way, I probably am. But I also want people to understand, if you get Denver, maybe Denver now has built this confidence and they'll end this in 6.
Game 4 was a huge win. They're back at home for game 5 tonight or tomorrow.
That's, to me, that's not a great matchup for you. Now, you might be able to win that because Dame takes his game to this superstardom first team all NBA level and does what we didn't see him do last playoffs. And I've enjoyed what this team has done, but there are matchup problems awaiting you if you get past OKC on Tuesday. And I think they will. So I've seen a lot of like Western Conference Finals, Western Conference, and I just like, why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Why are we already
going
there?
Well, you also lose home court advantage. I mean, if you get the Spurs, you will have home court advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I think they understand the Spurs better and how those matchups will work and what they've got to keep. Obviously, I mean, they know LaMarcus as well as anybody. And that's not to say it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, Pop can go win a game anywhere at any time.
Well, I don't know how you've watched. If you watched any second of that Spurs-Nuggets series, I don't know how you would doubt Popovich and the Spurs to be able to win a game or a series against Portland. That would be a stretch to me. And again, this is us pumping the brakes on.
The weirdest thing so far through that series has just been Nikola Jokic not playing seemingly the way he did the entire regular season.
He had that. I mean, in their last game, he was really good.
Yeah.
And they ended up running away with it because he woke up and that's what he needs to do. He needs to do that.
And maybe that's the confidence booster that he needed to say, hey, I can't take over games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think on the Lillard point, that to me, it continues to be the biggest thing. First, and I said this after the first win, he deserves a moment like this, like for what he's been, how good of a player he's been, staying committed to a franchise where probably, 90% of NBA players in his position going through what he's gone the last couple of years would have said, peace, we can't do it here, I'm out, trade me, I want to go play somewhere else. Like, he stayed committed, and it's been awesome to watch him get his moment in the sunshine, and I hope it continues to last for him. But the dominating in every aspect of the game has been the coolest part. Like, he has taken over this series, and it's taken help. It always takes help. CJ's had to play well. Aminu's had to play well. Collins. At times, Mo Harkless had a double-double last night. But the note that Swag said that I agree with is picking and choosing depending on the ebbs and flows of the game. Like, early on, he's getting trapped. They're double-teaming him. And you saw they were trying to get Cantor some of those kind of 15, 16-foot jumpers early. They turned it over a couple of times, trying to figure out how to handle it. He was getting some different looks thrown at him, and he struggled early on. And then he turned it on in the third quarter and helped put that game away. Game 3, same thing. Not a ton in the first half. Got it going in the third. You saw game 1, him hitting a lot of buckets early to kind of ease everybody into the series. And then when you needed a dagger 3, who was there with the dagger 3? He did it the entire game 2, and that was a dominating performance. He has dominated every aspect on the floor in leadership, which is where you started the show today, his handling of the media, and I think not responding and giving Russell Westbrook the bait that he wants. Like, Westbrook is a guy that vibes off of that and I think feeds off of the trash talk and the back and forth. He needs to build that chip on the shoulder. That's why he goes at it with media members. Like, he needs to feel doubted and like you're going at him. And Dame hasn't given him any ammunition. Like, they chirp a little bit. He goes back and forth, but not to the level to get Westbrook, you know, wake him up and give him that spark. He's owned him in every aspect of the series, and I love watching.
I didn't really see it yesterday. I felt like Dame really made it a priority because it took off.
Yeah, he
didn't
say hardly anything yesterday.
It was a national topic of Dame and Russ and John back and forth. And I think Dame is smart enough as a leader of the franchise and the way he's operating to just go, okay, this conversation is now about me and Russ. This is a team thing. I'm not going to win unless my team goes out there and plays well. He didn't feed into it at all. Even when he started over six, even when Russ was got off to that good first quarter and put him up seven in the second.
And Russ was taunting him again when he hit some of those early threes.
And he didn't go into it. He just went out there and he played his game and he was calm. And you mentioned how Russ feeds off of it. I think he 100% does. And I think watching him in the second half, a lot of the reason he was the way he was because Dame wasn't feeding into it. They weren't taunting him. They weren't celebrating. They played good defense. They communicated well. They locked him down. They clogged the paint. And I couldn't believe it. Like, the moment to start the fourth quarter is what shocked me the most. Dennis Schroeder was out there with Paul George, and Westbrook was resting, and Dame wasn't on the court. Portland was up, and I thought, okay, if OKC's going to win or have a chance to win, this is their run. Because Dame's not going to be out too long. And I love that Stotts, by the way, upped his return time. Or actually, he made the decision and said, I'm going in.
Dame was like, put me in the game. Stotts tried to say no, and he was like, I'm going in the damn game.
We're burying him. I'm taking this game, and we're going to go celebrate in Portland. That was a key moment because Paul George was passive. I remember watching two or three straight possessions. It was just Dennis Schroeder dribbling around and Paul George standing in a corner. Right. And I thought,
what are you doing?
That is not what Dame would do. You know, Dame trusts his teammates, but when Dame recognizes there's a moment to bury a team, he's going to take advantage of it. And he's done that all series long, and that's been the difference, too, is Paul George's numbers do not indicate a guy that's had a good series at all. If you go look at the percentages, don't give me total points, don't give me total rebounds. He is getting those in fashion where the game is out of hand, it doesn't matter. He's clearly not been the dominant playoff P that he proclaimed 2 years ago. And Russell Westbrook, I think, was really just thrown off by it. I think they were expecting Portland to jaw back and forth.
They were,
to play into that hand, and they didn't give in at all. They went out there and they played basketball. They didn't get it over their head. And I think that really killed Oklahoma City on top of obviously being up 17 to 18 points.
Yep, we got a lot of thoughts at the Bet U Today text line. We'll read some on the other side. We have a poll question as well. How far will this playoff run take them? How surprised are you that they're at this point up 3-1? And what have you enjoyed most about Portland's 3-1 series lead? We got all those poll questions. We'll continue the Blazer Thunder talk. Do it next. Just like this river. Welcome back in, 2:33, talking some Blazers and Thunder. They lead 3-1, game 5 tomorrow night. Blazers with a chance to clinch it at home. Brandon Sprague will be there. Joe Fish will be there.
Ooh, it's going to be a late one again.
In the flesh.
That's another reason I'm hoping they close it out.
7:30 tip,
Well, it sounds great, but sometimes you get home and you're just like, whoa, it's 1 in the morning.
But you got to work them. It's a long night. It's a long night, no doubt. We got some thoughts rolling in. I want to read a couple of them. Somebody said, reiterating our point on Dame, couldn't ask for a better face of the franchise. That is one of those where you just watch him, Westbrook, and everything.
How many players would you rather have as a face of your franchise in the NBA right now? And you have to throw loyalty as a part of this. Because I'm trying to think. Guys that I think can be true faces of the franchise and carry a team.
So skill-wise, you would put Giannis ahead of him, but there's still the question of will he stick to the loyalty like Dame has, right?
He's playing that up a lot the way Dame did.
He's played the Dame card.
So far, yes. Curry?
Probably Steph Curry.
Okay. Harden?
But granted, again, I mean, loyalty is easy for him because he's won. We don't know how loyal he would be if he was in Dame's shoes, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's easy to be loyal when you've won three titles in 4 years.
Does he strike you as a guy who's going to... I think he's going to be a lifetime warrior.
If he would have been bouncing the first round of the playoffs almost every year, would he have been? And still playing at this incredible MVP level?
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, there's a difference there.
That's a tough, but based on what you've seen, you would say he's a face of a franchise.
Oh, absolutely,
right?
Yeah. I'm just saying the loyalty thing, that's where Dame's loyalty is so unique. You just don't see guys like that in the modern-day NBA stick to what he's stuck to.
I actually think Harden would be one. It's not like he was begging to be traded from OKC, and I know Houston is obviously a much bigger and much more beneficial city for what he likes to do at the night, but we have the most per capita. I think Harden is a loyalty guy, too, until, obviously, maybe he'll be 38 and be like, all right, well,
yeah.
I'm out of here. I'm going to L.A.
Did you see him acting like he got choked?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, when Ingles barely hit his beard,
barely just touched his beard,
and he was just like, ah.
Harden grabbed his throat like he was killed in the scene of Game of Thrones. Like,
so, three in the entire league.
I mean, that tells you something, because it's the whole package. It's not, I'm not saying Dame's the fourth best player in the NBA. That's
no,
ridiculous.
No, that's not what this conversation
but
is.
But it's about just the guy who you're prideful about. Like, that's the face of my franchise. Like, he's my dude.
Yeah. And like, I know like the Steph Dame stuff. I think Dame is playing a much better game right now. I also feel like, let's not get in over our skis here. Steph is one of the all-time greats.
Oh, he's an incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's great personality, good person off the floor. Yeah, he's the whole package. All right, what else do we got here, Betty, today? Text line. Somebody says, the whole point is that every player needs help. It's about if you lift those players to be confident about that help. We can talk about how hard Jordan was on his teammates, but they always stepped up. But I'm not comparing Dame to Jordan, FYI. So saying, yeah, it's not just about needing help. It's, can that help rely on you? And Dame has relied on his help in this series. There's no doubt about that. Everybody stepped up around him, shooting the ball with confidence.
Has the CJ, I know Quick wrote that piece a week ago. Has that changed your opinion and your thoughts at all? Because you and I have firmly been the guys that, hey, that's a piece that you could really use. You have Damian Lillard in his prime. He's what, 28, 29?
Yeah, they're getting, I still, it's hard for me to answer that because I don't know what the final chapter of this story is. Where does this run go? How long does this continue? Does their backcourt play carry them to a Western Conference Finals and push you to a Game 6 against the Warriors, right? I still want to see how far that they can go, because they haven't proved that they can go deep in the playoffs together before. And this is a big prove-everybody-wrong year for them. And I think that they've used that as their rallying cry. There was a good article in the New York Times today about how they had a team meeting first day of camp. Said, let's bury what happened last year. It's not going to happen again. And let's go redeem ourselves from that crap. And they've worked all season to try and get rid of that memory of the New Orleans sweep. So I think they're trying to prove everybody wrong. I still want to see how far it can go.
So you're not, are you talking like way down the road? Or are you talking about this playoff?
I'm talking this playoff. Nothing's going to change this offseason. So where can it go next year?
Right.
I think in this next kind of 2-year window, seeing where it can go. That's the tough part too. Is the unfortunate reminder that no matter how much success you have this year, it's going to be a big springboard into the offseason. You don't have any money to spend. Like, that's the difficult part of where they're at right now, is that usually teams can kind of go on a run like this, and Portland did. Remember when they beat the Clippers? That's when they went out and spent all that money because they had cap space. They didn't spend it wisely. But you can translate that into a big offseason. They just don't have much flexibility again, which is kind of a difficult part.
It's going to be an important part, too, given the guys who are up.
Sure, Aminu, Cantor, Hood, Curry, all those guys. People on Brent said, you've seen my text all season. I renounced my fandom until things changed. I predicted OKC in 6. This has me rooting again. I never saw it coming.
Now, let me say this to that listener, because it'd be easy for other people to hear that and go, oh, look at that guy. I don't blame people who do that.
No, I don't either.
Why criticize those people?
Yeah.
They're frustrated. They've spent their hard-earned money, gone to games. They take time out of their personal lives to watch them, spend money on merch. If you get to a point where you're frustrated enough with a franchise and you renounce, but you're coming back because they're winning, I don't have a problem with that. People are going to call you bandwagon, but you know what? It's not always fun.
No, it's not.
It's brutal.
Yeah, last year was pretty rough. Nobody's forgetting about that.
No.
P1 Dustin, I like his strategy. He said we could rest Dame till the third quarter. Just have him come in and take over. That's not a bad idea. The way he's playing in third quarters right now.
He averaged the most points per game in the third quarter during the regular season. So I'm not really that shocked that he's doing this in the postseason.
He's also leading the postseason in points per game right now, I think.
Yeah, he is. The funny thing would be is if he did that and they were still winning at halftime. Because that's kind of what it felt like in game 4, is Dame did next to nothing.
Right? What did he have in the first half?
Six or seven. He didn't hit a field goal till about 1:20
to
go.
Two, I want to say, in the last.
He hit a three there.
And then he had a jump shot or a layup. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got? People arguing that the Blazers should go silent with Russ instead of booing him. We had another fan saying tomorrow night, instead of booing him, you'll shoot every time he touches the ball.
I hope they kind of troll him on defense and back off and make him shoot threes. And then just everybody claps really loud when he falls into the trap.
I would shift the defense more towards making sure Paul George doesn't get hot early.
Yeah.
And making sure Steven Adams doesn't have a significant. Because I think we've seen from Billy Donovan, if Adams isn't torching guys at the offensive end, if he's not involved, defensively, Portland's figured out how to exploit him now on those high pick and rolls.
Yeah, he hasn't adjusted.
Go ahead.
So if Westbrook, I was curious if we're going to see this season or in this series, if Westbrook truly tries to do it on his own, if Portland would let him score 50 or 60 and see if he can score 100. Because if they wipe everybody else out, I don't think Westbrook's a good enough shooter to now, he'd take 50 shots in a game. I have no doubt about that, right, but he's still only making 20 of them.
He stopped shooting yesterday. I didn't think he would stop. He stopped shooting. It got into his head.
He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn last night.
No, he was ice cold. He only scored 1 point in the second half. He had his worst game of the season. Despite what he said on game two, he had a worse game in game four, and that was your more pivotal game. That got into his head.
He was at home.
Yeah. I mean, like, ultimately, you don't change anything because defensively, you have been amazing. Yeah. You've held them under 103 of the four games. It's just going to be, is tomorrow turn into a celebration? We see this sometimes from series to series, is a team has clear control. They win by double digits on the road. They beat you by 20 at their place. It's a gentleman sweep scenario. The other team is mentally defeated. Does this turn into a party in the fourth quarter where it's like big. Lehman is hitting a three. Anthony Simons is hitting a three.
Gary Trent Jr.
You know what I mean? It's like 110 to 78 and the crowd's going nuts and we're celebrating and Russ is leaving the bench 2 minutes left in the game. It's clearly over. He don't want to shake anybody's hand.
He left early last night, I think, didn't he?
15 seconds left. Is that what we see, or is it end up being a lot closer? Because this is the one thing I'll say about today's show. I haven't looked at the text all show, but when I've looked, I haven't seen one person say, pump the brakes.
No.
Whoa.
Nobody's pumping brakes. We're all gas pedal right now.
Well, and I'm sorry. I don't blame people for being that way. What have you seen in this series to make you feel like tomorrow should be a caution? I know the team's going to play that way, and that's what leaves me confident.
And here's what has me confident was listening to those post-game thoughts about Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and Terry Stotts is they're not going to get swept up by fans starting to dream.
Yeah, they're not satisfied at all.
No.
They want to finish this tomorrow.
I have no doubts that they are totally focused on game five and are not taking anything for granted and want to do everything possible to close this thing out and anticipating where they think the Thunder are going to make slight adjustments and what to expect in the first quarter to try and get themselves out in front and have all the pressure in the world and finally make them crack. I'm not worried about them.
They're
going to be totally focused on game five.
Yeah. Last night was such a unique feeling during the game. Were you guys stressed late in the third and the fourth?
I wasn't stressed at any point yesterday. I really thought they were winning that game.
I did too. The back and forth early in the first half, like it felt like there was a lot riding on every possession, and then you fell down seven in the second quarter, and it's like, there was tense moments in the first half, but when they started to hit like right out of the gate in the third quarter, knocking down early shots.
The only thing was that little run by the Thunder at the end of the third quarter. Paul George hit that fadeaway three in the corner, falling out of bounds.
I cut it to 11, right?
Got it to 11. And, like, there were some people, I forget who, somebody asked Terry in the fourth quarter or in the changeover, was there a thought, I better leave Dame in or do I need to get him some rest and kind of the thinking there? And Terry's like, yeah, it certainly was topic of discussion among the coaches. What do we do here? Yeah.
Well, and I think that was what's so cool about Dame is his ability to recognize, and not that he's unique in this, but when a star knows we have a team on the cliff, let me go in and shove them off.
Yeah,
I loved it because I didn't want to see him sit till about 8 or 7:50 like he normally does.
Let it slip down to 5.
Dude, he came
six,
in with 9:18 left, and Stotts was kind of like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he was like, no,
we're going in.
We're burying them.
Let's
this
go.
Is going to put them away. Let's go get it. And he went out there and he helped do it. It was a real good effort by everybody.
Yep. Two more quick thoughts at the venue today. Text line, somebody said, in a league full of selfish me style, absolutely love how the Blazers are playing a team game right now. They're playing like they are all in and playing for each other. P1 Daryl said, I've never seen anyone as good as Dame on and off the court. Other guys may be better for other cities, but Dame is perfect for Portland. Hashtag man crush. And the last one, you guys are pronouncing it wrong. It's actually Westbrick, so apologies for that. We'll make sure to get
the
it right.
The O's are French,
it's a French thing, so it's pronounced Brick. Yeah.
Let's not forget, though, Brandon Roy was pretty amazing on and off the court.
He was. There's been some amazing guys through the years, no doubt.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
So
maybe Dame's better.
Let's answer the poll question, shall we? Also, big night tonight, and how about that Game of Thrones episode, huh? Next on The Fan. I mean, how awesome is next week going to be?
We can't give anything away, but
no,
oh
it won't. Spoiler alert!
Lord.
I'm just next week. I'm just. Last night was a really good episode. We disagreed. I wasn't a huge fan of episode one. I thought it was a little bit of a dud. So they turned into like a rom-com there for 10 minutes, and I wasn't happy about it. Last night kicked ass from start to finish.
Game of Thrones has had a couple songs, the originals.
Mm-hmm.
The Lannister one.
Yeah, from like season 3 or 4 yeah. or something like that.
Yeah. Now, she didn't sing this last night, but man, it was great the way they... put that song in, and you went to all the different character back and forth. I'm really looking forward to next week's episode.
Woo-hoo-hoo. It was good stuff. Okay, let's answer poll question, shall we? Are we ready for this? Hold on, I got to pull them up.
Oh, okay.
Who is the real Russell Wilson? Where do you guys go? Podium?
I think
Cornrow Russ.
Cornrow. Oh, do you put Cornrow Russ?
I did, yeah.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair. That's what goes on with you. What's going on?
You know, really, from the beginning of my professional career, started here.
My goal was to end it here.
My goal is to
I think the
have
real
a
Russ is Cornrow Russ.
City,
okay.
Is to be able to make
I really do believe that. I know we didn't know who about him or who he was.
He's new. Oh, hello.
Until he met Sierra, but I think that's the real Russ.
77% of people took podium, Russ. 23% agreed with you.
But you don't think in the locker room with a Richard Sherman and a Earl Thomas and a Marshawn Lynch, they're all celebrating. Marshawn's like playing his West Coast Bay Area rap and Russell Wilson is doing this.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
It could.
That's what goes on with you.
Tell me when to go.
That was the other big thing of the weekend. Russell Wilson got cornrows. We also asked, as of today, how far do you think this Blazer playoff run goes? Where did you answer? I enjoyed, by the way, the 1% that say they still lose to Oklahoma City.
If you made me bet, I think Denver's going to win their series now.
Okay.
I think that's a terrible matchup for them. And if Jokic is not taking advantage of that, shame on him for ever being first team All-NBA for the next 5 years. So I will say second round.
I think they're going to get to the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
Now, does matchup matter for you?
I think the Spurs makes it easier. One, because you have home court advantage. Two, I think they understand that matchup better. I don't necessarily know that it's easier going up against Pop, but I think they understand that matchup better and know exactly what they'll have to do. I think the Nuggets, there'll be a little feeling out process, especially without Nurk and trying to see how, because I think the Nuggets more than any other team are growing up and getting that playoff maturity on a game to game basis with this group. In a lot of ways, this is the first time they're really going through this. They just happen to be the 2 seed doing it rather than a 6 or 7 seed.
Right.
Yeah. I think the other thing too, with the Spurs here, and I know there's people that do not want us going this far, but I do think they're winning game 5. Well, the other thing with the Spurs is, yeah, they have Pop, and I'm never going to underestimate him. I expect a tough series from San Antonio, but if you were to break down matchups and stuff, I just think you have such an advantage at guard.
Sure.
Derek White and Patty Mills versus Dame and CJ. Sure, San Antonio, Pop is an amazing, smart guy.
White on a couple of games has shredded the Nuggets.
I know, but that's Jamal Murray. Damian Lillard to me is...
What's what I'm saying?
You know
is,
what I mean? I think that's an advantage for Portland, and that's why matchup-wise... between those two.
Okay. I picked second round. I said second round exit. So I'm still in the I'm wanting to doubt them continuously because so far in the playoffs it has proven good.
Well, the WCF, man, that's an entirely other conversation. If they got to that point of what?
Yeah, you're talking basketball all the way until almost June at that point. I mean, just imagine that.
You've also greatly benefited, assuming missing Houston or Golden State, because there's no chance you beat either of those.
Hey, if you end up getting there, I made fun of people with the make sure you get the 3 seed so you can avoid Golden State and Houston in the second round argument. It was like, let's just go win a playoff game first. But if you end up making it to the conference finals because you got through OKC and then had Denver or San Antonio and you handled that,
right,
I have no problem saying, thank God they could miss Houston or Golden State in the second round.
The problem with that argument, though, was people were making that with like 10 games to go.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And having not won a playoff game. Right. And then also just you lucked into it.
You did. You didn't.
You
play
accidentally
for it,
got the three seed. Right. Now, do
how
they,
funny is that? Do we look back on that? Like, if that ends up being the difference,
is because that, Simons went off
the comeback game against what was it? The Kings on the last night of the regular season. Yep.
The tank off there.
Oh, why would that be?
Might be the difference, so, man.
62% of people right now are saying they get to the conference finals. 14% say this is an NBA finals bound team.
14% think they're beating Houston or Golden State.
14%
those,
right now.
Those are super fans.
What?
Right?
And, NBA finals.
What happened?
We also asked, what have you enjoyed most about Portland's 3-1 series lead? You had four different options. 45% the top vote getter is shutting up Russell Westbrook. Always a fun thing to do. 28% say just win in playoff games. Just keeping it simple. 19% say Dame dominating. And then 8% of people saying proving the doubters wrong. So kind of a widespread thing there, but people enjoying the Westbrook shut up factor. And then how surprised are you the Blazers are in this point? Up 3-1 in the series. 54% say pretty shocked. 21% say shocked. I didn't expect this at all. 25% of you say not at all saw this coming.
That started at like 45%. Not at all saw it coming. Shame on you because you're lying to yourself.
I saw this 3-1 series.
Stop it.
Tonight, here's what we got. NBA playoffs. Did we get a couple of sweeps?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, you got Houston playing in Utah, game four. That is 7:30 on TNT. Milwaukee, Detroit. The spreads in that game, Milwaukee's favored by 13.5.
Lay the points.
Lay the point. You think Detroit rolls
over?
I
think they're just going to – they don't have – I mean, they brought Blake Griffin back in game three, and they were down, 15 at the end of the first quarter or something?
They booed Drummond, too, in that game.
They don't – they don't have the horses.
Detroit basketball. Have you watched a second of that series?
I have not watched 1 second of that series. Honestly, I haven't turned it on, and I will not tonight.
Yeah, I only watched game two.
Houston and Utah, 3-point spread. Does Utah fold like a...
Houston breaks their will.
Yeah. That's what you get. Tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs, so you got game six, Carolina and Washington in Carolina.
You also got San Jose and Vegas game sevens coming up.
Huh? That'll be tomorrow.
Toronto, Boston.
Game set.
Look at me. Tomorrow. I know it.
And you got Nashville and Dallas tonight. Dallas and Washington trying to close out their series.
Oh, give me
game
Mike,
six.
Mike Modano. Give me it.
You like you a big Brendan Morrow guy?
I think the Preds get this back to Nashville, but I think the Caps will roll.
Dallas is playing really good right now.
I know.
Carolina's a different team at home, too. They wear those black unis. Crowd gets into it.
Yeah, the bunch of jerks mentality.
I think we get a couple of home wins tonight. We go game seven, and then Dallas wraps it up. It'll be good, though. Hey, tomorrow on the show, is this confirmed? Yep. 12:30. Jonathan Smith's going to join the show tomorrow at 12:30. Head coach of the Beavs. Talked to Chris Ball last week. We'll talk about spring football being wrapped up with Jonathan Smith. We have an NFL scout criticizing a guy for being raised by women.
I'm going to lose my mind. As a kid who didn't have a dad.
We all know Sprague was raised by women. He's soft. Couldn't play in the NFL. He's mentally weak.
I'm going to take my shirt off and go cry.
That is tomorrow. Thanks for being part of our Monday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.